Good morning to you all, and thank you for being with me as you are each and every Sunday morning right here on The Mix at 8 a.m. in the morning. We are on the topic of branding. Beginning this past Sunday, we started a new sermon series entitled Branding. We'll be focusing on this question: what kind of church are we? We studied on how does the church include you this past week. Well, God's creation included you. The purpose of the church includes you. The imperfect church includes you. And the biblical foundation of love included you. This morning, you are included to be a part of this worship service. We will be looking at the word instruct this morning. So what kind of church are we? We are a church that instructs you. You know, there's a great responsibility as a church and from church leaders to instruct sound biblical doctrine. The responsibility to equip God's people to do his work, to build up the church, the body of Christ, is a tremendous responsibility. Our mission statement says we are created by God to glorify God by equipping all generations, discipling all generations, and help all generations serve the world with the gospel. This is a wonderful, amazing, yet challenging and important responsibility to be able to live out each and every day of our lives. We need to be sure that we are equipping the church to be servants, workers for the kingdom. We need to be the kind of church that instructs you to be able to follow God's commands. Whether if you are a new believer or an old believer, we all need continual instruction in God's word. So let's look at Acts chapter 2, 41 through 42. This will be our theme verse for the next few Sundays, along with a few others that I would like to share that goes along with this word of instruction. This is considered to be the purpose statement for the church. So those who accepted his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 people were added to them. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. According to this verse, the purposes or activities of the church should be this: teaching biblical doctrine, providing a place of fellowship for believers, observing the Lord's Supper, and praying. You cannot honor God, you cannot worship God any more than by reverently listening to God's word being preached with a heart eager to obey. That is the highest expression of worship, hearing God's word with an eagerness to obey it. So, I'm trusting that you grasped the message this morning and planted in your heart the centrality of preaching and teaching in the life of the church. Coming from last week's sermon, let me say this: a church that includes you also instructs you. Like I stated at the beginning of this message, there is a tremendous responsibility we have as a church to instruct. We must equip God's people to do the work he has called us to do. We want you to grow in wisdom and knowledge and apply the scripture to your lives. One of our goals here at IBC is that you become, you are to receive spiritual growth. The church needs to be instructing you in several areas. The Bible contains tons of information we need to know, such as who is God? Where did he come from? How did we get the Bible? Is the Bible the inherent word of God? Was there a literal six-day creation? Explain the Trinity. Why was the law given first? Why so many years of silence between the Old Testament and New Testament? Was Jesus truly from a virgin birth? Did Jesus really do those miracles? Did Jesus truly die and rise again on the third day? Is salvation by grace through faith, or does it take some work to get to heaven? What does the Holy Spirit do? Is there a true heaven and a true hell? If God is love, then why hell? What is the will of God for my life? What is my role in the church? What is my role in my family? How are we supposed to conduct ourselves each and every day of our lives? You see, the list can go on and on, can't it? Some of these, if not all, I believe are essentials of our faith. This is why on Wednesday evenings and Sunday mornings, we go through these topics to make sure we are growing in knowledge and wisdom and strive to live the kingdom life daily. We want you to make sure that this is not only head knowledge, but as well as heart knowledge, and you live it out. The primary roles in the life of the church are preaching and teaching, Preaching and teaching is a crucial function in the church. I believe the primary reason for choosing a church should be for its sound theological interpretation of the Bible. Since Scripture states man shall not live by bread alone, found in Matthew chapter 4, but by every word that proceeds out of his mouth, it is essential that his truth be proclaimed. God has designed that it be proclaimed through preaching and teaching. That is God's method. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, it says, if anyone speaks, let him speak the oracles of God. God has placed in the church those who preach, those who teach, and they are to speak the oracles of God. That's what we do when we come together on the Lord's Day. That's what we do when we go to small group or Sunday school class or some kind of Bible study class. There are those there who will teach you the Word of God. God has ordained the means for delivering His truth to be through gifted folks who can preach and teach His Word. These words leads us to 1 and 2 Timothy this morning. They were written by Paul to Timothy. Paul wrote these letters to Timothy because he was one of Paul's closest friends. He had sent Timothy to the church of Ephesus to counter the false teaching that had rose up to give encouragement and instruction to him. Paul was basically passing the torch also on to Timothy because after a couple of years of freedom, Paul was arrested again and finally executed under Emperor Nero. I'm not going to be able to read these two books, but I will point out some important instructions that we were given to Timothy and handed down to us. So let me give you a synopsis of these two books, 1 and 2 Timothy. And I'm hoping as I am giving you these instructions, you may apply it to your lives so that you may grow in wisdom and strength, knowledge, and obey. Well, a lot of different people will probably put different theme verses around 1 and 2 Timothy of what they consider important. But here's what I like in 1 Timothy, and this is what I consider one of the major theme verses that I wanted to share this morning. It's found in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. It says, but in case I am delayed, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of truth. You know, Paul intended this letter to teach believers how to conduct themselves, what Christians should or should not teach. Paul starts out with this formal greeting, of course, but then he moves right into this false teacher stuff. Believe it or not, this had already cropped up in the early church, and Timothy was definitely going to deal with this on various occasions. It's heartbreaking to know that even today we have people teaching some weird stuff, all in the name of Christ. So Paul encourages Timothy to maintain sound teaching regarding the law and the gospel, regarding gifts from God and the scriptures. Timothy is also charged with teaching his church to behave in a godly way, which means he spends even more time discussing what godliness looks like in the church. I can't stress to all of us how important this is. I'm speaking of the process of growing even closer to God and relying on Him to assist us in our efforts to resist and avoid those things that would cause us to stumble. From this point, Paul addresses topics that we should be living out daily. It's about family to finances. It's about prayer to church leadership. Paul walks through several issues of life and discusses how to go about them in godly ways. And here's just a little trivia for you this morning. Did you know the Greek word most commonly translated godliness or piety in the New Testament appears 8 times in 1 Timothy? It doesn't show up this much in any other book of the Bible. Even though Paul would soon leave this world behind, he wasn't leaving the world without a representative for truth. And that person was Timothy. Paul's, I guess you could say his protege, his son in the Lord, needed to carry on Paul's standard of sound teaching. And we are, my friends, to carry it on today. Now, in the second letter, which according to most scholars was written a couple of years after the first letter and a little before Paul was killed by Nero, Paul's second letter to Timothy focuses on solemn charges to the younger pastor. And again, I like this verse in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. You might have your own. I'm sure there are plenty of scholars out there that consider various other verses their theme verse. But I like 2 Timothy 1, 13. It says, retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me and the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Guys, this applies to us today. In other words, guard and fight for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Never be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Don't be ashamed to testify of your personal faith in Christ. Paul was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and teacher of the gospel, and Timothy was responsible for guarding it and entrusting it to others. It is entrusted to us. It was handed down to us. He told Timothy the road ahead would be fought with suffering, but he also encourages Timothy to be strong and fight the good fight. Let me encourage you to fight the good fight. To fight the good fight of faith means that we abide in the word by faith, regardless of what we feel or what we think, we understand. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 31, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Here's one other thing, guys. Pursue righteousness. You know, there were a lot of people out there trying to disrupt Timothy's work and lead people into ungodliness. We as well will have the world doing the same thing to us. Timothy and other believers were to accurately handle the word, avoid any empty chatter, flee from youthful lust, and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Moving yourself from temptation can be one of the most courageous acts to take in life at times. Timothy was warned to flee anything that produced evil thoughts. I believe this applies to us today. If you have something reoccurring in your life that is considered sin, evil, remove yourself from the situation. Knowing when to run and when to fight is important to the Christian walk. Continue in sound teaching. This is how Paul is encouraging Timothy. Apostasy is coming in the future, and Timothy must remember the scriptures. Jude wrote that he found it necessary to write, appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints in Jude chapter 1, verse 3. Because certain people have crept in unnoticed who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only master and Lord Jesus Christ. If someone denies that Jesus Christ is Lord, it is a departure from the faith that once was all delivered to the saints and is considered to be an apostasy. My friends, sound doctrine is important for many reasons. Let me just give you a few. Our faith is based upon it. It affects what we do. It lets us know what's right and what's wrong. Sound doctrine teaches, it rebukes, admonishes, encourages. I want to encourage you to never stray away from the sound doctrinal teaching. Here's another thing that Paul instructed Timothy to do is to do this. Preach the word. Paul's last charge to Timothy was to preach the word. Timothy is not only responsible for keeping church doctrine in line, he's also supposed to bring that teaching to the lost. My friends, we are called to do the same. Be faithful in your calling. No matter how difficult the fight will get, keep on fighting. At the end, when we are with Christ, it will all be worth it. You know, there's a lot more I could say, but not enough time. 2 Timothy shows us why Paul needed another preacher to know before he was taken from the world. Today, it is a great letter of advice for church leaders and gives instructions to those who want to live godly lives. As you can see, these two books are full of wise instructions, practical instructions for the church, especially for pastors and teachers in the church. It is a good reminder to stay focused on Christ and true to the grace revealed in the Word of God, being able to teach and explain it with authority and with power. Our churches will be strongest when they are closest to the biblical vision laid out for them. If you're looking at IBC or you might be looking for a new church, consider the priorities of the leaders. I believe it is wise to look for an emphasis on sound doctrine, on purity within the leaders' personal lives, and on living out the Christian faith by example. Don't you think those qualities in someone are very important? If you do, you would more likely find a church where you can thrive. Let me tell you why I wanted to give you a brief overview of these two books. It is because true love instructs, true love corrects, and true love warns. In countless of ads and campaigns, the word love is the word of choice, it seems like. They say, I love you, man. I'm loving it. For the love of the game. In these various commercial contexts, love becomes this economic commodity, I would say, or a momentary catchphrase of life. However, in Scripture, love defines who God is. It summarizes the law. It motivates God to sacrifice His Son, and it should urge our evangelistic efforts and so much more. The world attempts to define love in a lot of different ways, doesn't it? But it doesn't do a good job at it at all. What the world does is simply use it as a cipher to get whatever it wants. The Bible secures love in God's covenant, faithfulness, and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. More to the point, love can be wrong according to the Bible. The man who loves creation more than the Creator is an idolater, 1 John chapter 2. And the man who loves to drink from his own broken cisterns invites the wrath of God in Jeremiah chapter 2. In other words, when we forsake God's word, which is the fountain of life, we reject God himself. And so we fall to the inventions in vain confidence and procure to ourselves destruction. As Christians, we live against a culture that says, if you love me, you will accept me and never question my actions or what I do or what I say. In the Bible, love does not gloss over sin, my friends. It teaches sinners they need pardon for the sin and a peace that endures. Genuine love cannot turn a blind eye to sin. It must rejoice with the truth. As followers of Christ, we will embrace God's truth and willingly speak to one another with loving correction. In short, love corrects, it instructs, it warns, and admonishes. Admonishing requires this. It requires true love, endurance, and it's very personal. So let me give you my final thoughts this morning about how the church instructs. I can't tell you how many times I've heard this question from people that are looking for a church home. The question is, what do you all have to offer us? What kind of kids and youth programs do you have? I believe if you ask this question, then you must also ask, what can we offer this church? How can my gifts and talents be used to build up and undergird the work of this church? The church, guys, is not a spectator event. It's a place for involvement. If you're not getting much out of church life, maybe you're not giving of yourself to the ministry of the church. I have found those that are most enriched by the church are those that are involved with the church. I've also found that the church has a revolving door, doesn't it? It can happen when people don't want to come under the conviction of the Word of God, and they want the preacher to back off because they really don't want to hear the stuff that really matters in life. Some of you might have heard statements like this one. You know, have you seen or heard about the church at some location? Man, they are packed out. You know, they're doing a lot of wild and crazy stuff and having a good time. How about we do some of that cool stuff and you, Pastor, all you do is get up and preach the word. But we really would like a little more action and a little more variety and some interesting stuff from you. You know, maybe a little more moving lights, maybe some fog, maybe some dancers for Jesus while you're preaching. Oh, yeah, untuck your shirt and roll your sleeves up. You need to look relevant and hip to what is going on in today's world. You know, there are some that don't want to hear the word because they're getting influenced. They're getting influenced because some neighbor is doing or saying something. They'll say, well, my church is bigger than your church and we're really growing. And what are you people doing over there? They are possibly getting influenced by a brand name rather than the truth of God's word. And they don't want to hear it. They just want to hear what they want to hear. Let me read to you 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. People will still drift at times, even on a sound, biblical, heart-pounding, empowering message. I can't imagine how far they would drift if they didn't hear one of these type messages. The function of the church is to teach, preach, and proclaim the truth of God. That's what we do. I hope you listen this morning, my friends, with all your heart, with your obedient heart.